reading to you from Acts, the first chapter and the 8th verse, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and at the ends of the earth. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this evangelist Cecil Moe, and as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic. Gave my heart to Christ over 50 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. One later, God called me to preach, and I've been sharing Christ ever since. Well, friends, I tell you, it's a wonderful thing to be able to talk about Jesus. It's a most wonderful thing to be able to introduce a soul to Christ. I know there's lots and lots of Christians go to church every day, every week, and they go to prayer meeting and carry a Bible, and they've never said a word to anyone about Jesus. Shame, shame on you, because you're going to give an account for that someday when you stand before the Lord. He's going to say, why didn't you tell your neighbor that they died and went to hell? Why didn't you tell your son? Why didn't you tell your daughter? Why didn't you tell your mom or your daddy? That's our obligation, not the angels. It's our obligations. Well, listen, I'll be with you for an hour, and I just sit back and relax, and let's see if the Lord has for us, okay? Why don't you just kick off your slippers, sit back and relax, pour you a cup of coffee or a iced tea or a lemonade, and let's see what the Lord has for us today. I'm reading in Acts 4:13. Now as they observed the confidence of Peter and John and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were marveling and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus. Friends, I love this verse of Scripture because there isn't one born-again listener today who can say, I don't have the talent to share with lost people. Friends, let me tell you why holy boldness is so important. When we're telling the lost about Jesus, we're not doing it alone. For all born-again people have God's Holy Spirit living in them, and He does the work. Friends, don't worry about what you're about to say, for He will give us the words. And let me tell you, I know why this is true. I told you I was saved about 6 o'clock in the morning, and the first thing I did, I drove home, took my son who had kidnapped home, took him over and put him with his mother. Then I went up on the hill. It was about 7:30, and this friend of mine who was an alcoholic, who I drank with for a long, long time, I walked into the house where he was painting, and I said, Bill, guess what? What? He said, I joined the church this morning. He said, what? You did what this morning? Look at the clock, son. You're drunk. No, I'm not drunk. I said, well, I guess that's not what I need to say. I accepted the Lord this morning. Well, he said, what's a big deal about that? He said, I've been a Christian for years. I said, well, if you're a Christian, boy, howdy, you're sure not telling me much, because I said, you're an alcoholic. He said, yeah, I know. I drink quite a bit. I said, no, you're an alcoholic. But friends, listen, from that day on, I decided that I was going to do everything in my power to reach Bill Vail for the Lord. All right, here's what happened. He was, you know, how drinking people, they never have enough money to buy groceries. He had a raft of little kids, and he didn't have money for groceries, and I'd take groceries up to him, and I'd buy fuel oil for him, this and that. Well, one day I decided to go up and visit with Bill, and he wasn't home, but his wife was, and she was sitting there crying. I said, "What's the matter?" "Oh," she said, "we don't have any food again. Bill's out drinking." He said, she said, "all we had was cold potatoes." I said, "Well, why didn't you cook them?" She said, "because our power's been cut off." I said, "Oh, I'm sorry." "Well," I said, "I've got to go." So I jumped in my car and I drove home, and my wife had fried chicken. And I want you to know that chicken was pretty good until I tried to swallow it. And all I could think of was all they had to eat was raw potatoes. I put the chicken down. I got on the phone. I called two deacons in our church. Now, mind you, I've just been a Christian a short time. And I called these two deacons. I said, "Deacons, I've been helping this alcoholic and his family for a long, long time. But," I said, "I could sure use some help." They said, "Well, what do you need?" I said, "Well, I need some groceries." "Well, tell you what you do, see, so you come over to our house, and we'll be glad to share with you." The back of my car, plus they gave me $20 or $30 to give to Bill. So I drove over to their house, and Bill again was gone, and she said, "Oh, he's up at the firehouse, I guess." And I said, so here he came, knocking into the house. I said, "Bill, come on out here and help me." He walked out there, and I opened the door of my car and showed him all those groceries and that money, and he got tears in his eyes. "Oh, Cecil, I want to thank you." "Oh," I said, "don't thank me. Don't thank me. Thank the Lord. I couldn't get that chicken down. And thank the Lord that there was people like these two deacons who were so kind." Well, I guess maybe a month later, one Sunday morning, I got up early and I decided I was taking Bill to church. And I went over to his house. He was in bed. And I said, "Bill, come on, get up. We're going to church." He said, "I'm not going to church." I said, "Yeah, you are. If I have to whoop you, you're going to go to church this morning with me. I have instructions to get you to that church today." He said, "Well, I'll tell you why I can't go, Cecil." He said, "I got a hole in the seat of my pants about the size of a 4-bit piece." I said, "Bill, get those pants on. We're going to church." I just knew in my heart, friends, that God wanted him in that church that morning. So when we got to the church, I walked right behind him, kind of goose-stepped to get him into the church so the people couldn't see the hole in his pants. And they were up there singing, you know, and after the preaching, they sang the invitation. Well, just before the invitation, I used to smoke, see, and I had a fit, a coughing fit, so I run out in the hall to drink some water, and when I started back into the church, they were singing the invitation, and he had that songbook upside down, and he was trying to sing just as I am. Pretty soon, friends, he slammed that book down and walked down that aisle with that hole shining in his britches. And he went up there and he gave his heart to Jesus. That night, he brought his dear wife back and she accepted Christ. Friends, that takes holy boldness, because I probably couldn't have whipped him, but I said I was going to if he wouldn't go to church with me. Another time I was pastoring a church in Oregon, and somehow this lady had heard about me in my church. And so she called me and she said, "Pastor Mo," she said, "I've got an alcoholic husband. In fact, my sister has an alcoholic husband, and we wondered if you'd like to would come and talk to them." And they didn't say about the Lord, just said, "Come talk to them." Well, I said, "I'd be glad to do that." Well, one afternoon I was in town, and I thought, well, shoot, I'm right by this people's house. I'll just drop in and see these guys. But when I got there, this lady entered the door, and I said, "I'm Pastor Mo." "Oh," she said, "my husband and my sister's husband aren't here, but a sister and I are here, but they're not here. Won't you come in?" So I went in, and they poured me a cup of coffee, and I thought, well, shoot, as long as I'm here, I might as well witness to these two ladies, because I don't know if they know the Lord. Well, I began to realize that they didn't know the Lord, and pretty soon her three little kids come running in the house. Mama, Mama, I want this, I want that. And they just kept it up, kept it up, kept it up. Now, folks, I don't know. I've never been in this house before in my life. I got up, walked over to the refrigerator, opened the door, got some jelly and peanut butter, put some bread on it, put it on the bread, and put the little children outside and set them on the step, and came back and introduced those two ladies to Christ. Now, that had to be holy boldness, because I'm not that smart. But friends, listen. I'm always saying you don't have to be the smartest person in church to be a witness or a personal evangelist for the Lord. You sure don't. Look at Peter and John. They were old fishermen. They didn't have an education. They were untrained. And yet, you know, they said, there's something about those two dudes that we don't understand. Well, what it was, they had been with Jesus. Now, look it. Peter denied the Lord. He was a bad person sometimes, old Peter was. But you know, friends, on the day of Pentecost, God chose Peter to be the spokesman. 4,000 were saved one place, 5,000 were saved. You see, Peter, when he was filled with God's Holy Spirit, he was ready to roll. You know, a lot of people say, a lot of denominations think God has given them the corner on God's Holy Spirit. Listen, God's Holy Spirit is a real person. He's a member of the Holy Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And his job, when Jesus went back to heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit in the earth. He not only is a comforter, but he also, he convicts us. You know, you can be a Christian and the best Christian in the world, and you can sin. You sure can. You show me a Christian that don't sin, and I'll show you a big fat liar. Because everybody has sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, can you be perfect on this earth? No. Oh, I know people who claim that they're perfect, and they sin not. But the Bible says you're a liar, and the truth is not in us. We have all sinned. Well, what do you do when you sin? What do you do? Well, it's very simple. You come to the Lord, and you confess your sin to him, and he is faithful and just to forgive us all our sins. You need to confess it. You know, you've heard people, you've seen revival meetings, and people who got backslidden or crossed with somebody in the church, and they go to the altar and they weep and they cry and they say, God, forgive me, and they change. That's repentance. See, it doesn't do any good to tell the Lord you're sorry if you don't plan on changing. You got to change. He'll give you the power to change if you'll just lean on him. So many people try to figure out what they're going to do by themselves. God wants you to ask him. A guy told me the other day, he said, Cecil, I can't find a job. Have you been praying about it? Well, I prayed a little bit. Well, you pray a lot. If you need a job, you need to talk to the Lord about it. If you need money to live on, you got to talk to it. But I tell you what, friends, a lot of Christians today are stealing from God. They don't tithe, and they expect the blessings of God. God said if you tithe, he'll pour out a blessing that you can't even receive. I know that's true. And I know holy boldness is for people like you and I. But friends, I want to ask you this. If you were to die today, where would you go? You say, well, I don't know. Well, the Bible said that you can know that you're going to heaven. This writ that you may know. Listen, if you have a tugging at your heart tonight and you just feel, oh, I'm so sorry for my wretched life, God knows that you're sorry if you really are. And he wants you to call on him. He wants you to save. He wants to save you. But, you know, you got to ask him. Salvation is free and cheap, but here's a prayer that can change your life for all eternity. But, beloved, please don't pray it unless you mean it. Dear Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord Jesus, I open my heart right now and receive you as my Lord and my Savior in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved, if you prayed that prayer, I want you to get a hold of me. The announcer will tell you my email number or my post office box number. Write to me. Email me a number. Give me your phone number. I'll call you and talk to you if you want to talk to me. Friends, I will never sit down and write and ask you for any money or even on the phone. I don't do that. I'm concerned not where you go to church, but where you spend eternity. You give me a buzz. Well, until this time next week, I want you to be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet. Keep looking up, for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.